I guess I'm not sure that that makes them any better for it, and I think if they're gonna be in the business of being a charitable institution, we ought to hold them to some standard as well. In fact, we had that big debate in the, another committee on restaurants and licenses thereof. So, this would, this, that piece, I think, is important from my standpoint.
This is Russ Spencer.
I'll be very brief, Chair Cullen. Russ Spencer with the Oregon Restaurant Association. I think we've touched on many of the points that are concerned to our association. We support this bill 100%. It will enable our operators to participate in charitable functions that many operators have been hesitant to participate in previously. For example, in Eugene, we have a group of restaurants that have gotten together to provide food at a shelter once a week. Each restaurant will provide that food. It's been difficult to recruit additional members for fear of the liability resulting from the donated food. This should remove those concerns, and we should be able to have our operators participating in these type of programs throughout the state much more readily. And we appreciate Representative Mannix's efforts in these behalf, and we urge your support. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm willing to come back later after a couple of legislative matters for the last bill on your agenda. There's some different parties involved. That's all right. I'll just be back in about an hour.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, let us move to...
Does he know that we adjourn at 10? Which is,
well, he may. He will find out. Let's move to 2421. And yes, 2421. Charlie Williamson, Jan Baish.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jan Baish. I'm a trial lawyer from Portland, appearing on behalf of OTLA. Yeah. We are in support of House Bill 2421, which removes the immunity of public bodies, agents who negligently injure workers who happen to be contemporaneously covered under workers' compensation insurance. This provision appears in the Oregon State Tort Claims Act. And it's our position that the workers who are injured by a negligent agent of a public body should be entitled to recover their full economic losses. That's the goal of this bill. The fact that a worker is covered under workers' compensation laws at the time that a employee of a public body negligently hits him, which typically is in an automobile accident situation, is a very tough on the families and on the victims economically. And the example that I'd like to give you, I have several examples, but I have represented many people who come in who have been injured in a car wreck or get hit by a truck that's driven by a public body. In this particular case, I represented a young man who had three children and a wife who was pregnant, and he was driving on behalf of his employer over in Northeast Portland as he worked for a tire repair shop. And a City of Portland truck ran a red light and hit him and put him out in the hospital and out of work for about 6 months. And when he finished receiving his workers' compensation benefits, he'd been replaced on his job. He got a very low award on his workers' compensation case. And we were unable to do anything for him against the tortfeasor because of this provision in the statute. Many times people will come in with the same type of a scenario. In this particular case, this young man and his family had to move over to Eastern Oregon, and he went to work in a minimum wage type of a job. So this is exactly the type of a situation that this House bill is designed to prevent.
Okay, are there questions?
I might.
Yes, Charlie, please.
Just add, Madam Chair, I have attached to Mr. Baish's testimony some figures relating to the financial impact of this. I should say this is not intended to affect the tort claim limit of public bodies. That would still remain in effect. Just would allow people to bring third-party claims. we have a different analysis than the state, and I've set forth what it would raise about 10% what the state is paying now. I've set forth why that would be, that you're only covering people about 10% of the time, or expanding the liability about 10% of the time. We've lastly included a SAFE projections. They get $3.7 million a year now from these third-party claims. If you increase that by 10%, it would be only about $350,000 that they would be getting, but it would help workers' comp carriers, with SAFE being about 30 to 40% of workers' comp. You'd be pumping about $1 million a year into the system.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gorski.
This bill is basically a cost-shifting deal, as I see it. Wouldn't you agree? What we're doing is allowing the workers' comp carrier to be reimbursed by the public body, whereas generally they aren't. There are those cases where a plaintiff, an injured party, as it's referred to in a workers' comp claim, doesn't get as much as they could, and therefore a private lawyer will take the case and pursue the claim against the third party that's responsible, and that's the case that you're referring to. Excuse me. But that isn't going to really help the injured party so much most of the time as it helps the workers' comp carrier recover some of their costs.
Madam Chair, Senator Grinsky, I think that your analysis is correct, but indeed it would help the injured worker, because the injured worker would be entitled to collect his full economic losses in the tort action against the tortfeasor, against the public body. For example, if in my case, my client had $30,000 lost wages, and he also had lost earning capacity over the rest of his lifetime, that would be paid for, evaluated and paid for by the insurance carrier, and he would pay back his comp, but he would still get to be reimbursed for those economic losses that exceeded the workers' comp benefits. As you know, as a practicing attorney, the workers' comp benefits are meager at best.
Well, that's true a lot of the time, but a lot of the time the worker won't even pursue the third-party claim, even if they have the right to do so, because the amount of extra money they'll get isn't worth their trouble to do it, which is why the workers' comp carriers frequently do it on their own. My concern is this won't reduce workers' comp premiums, because they're not going to, I don't think that there would be enough of a reduction as a result of a third-party claim against a public body to do that. It will, however, I think, increase the public body's insurance premiums, because now they're exposed to liability they weren't exposed to before. The net result is the taxpayer ends up losing more money. And there are just those few parties that will end up increasing the amount of money that they would have gotten in the case where there's such a substantial disparity between the workers' comp award and the award they could get from the third-party claim.
We've anticipated that particular argument in the materials that are submitted by Charlie Williamson. I think those figures that we got from SAFE Corporation bear out just the opposite of what that perception is. In fact, SAFE Corporation, through the recoupment of their workers' compensation benefits that are paid out, would stand to gain substantial amounts and thereby, at least theoretically, lower their premiums to the employers who pay the premiums to SAFE Corporation. So I think just the opposite would be true. This would actually give more money to the state of Oregon. Now, insofar as how much the state of Oregon's insurance carriers charge for premiums, that's another matter. But I don't think that there's all that many of these claims, Senator Grinsky.
No, I know. I don't think that there is. That's why I don't think you're going to recoup all that much money through the workers' comp carrier. I don't think workers' compensation carriers generally expect to recover that much money through third-party claims that you'd see a perceptible reduction in premiums. I am very concerned, however, that the increased liability that the public bodies would face as a result of this, they'd have no choice but to increase their premiums. Their coverage would have to be expanded to deal with the potential liability that would arise from these third-party claims, an area that they've never been exposed to before. Workers' comp carriers generally can get reimbursed. It's only in those rare cases where they hit a public body's the third party that they can't. So they're already dealing with this. They have a pretty good idea of how much money to expect. Public bodies, on the other hand, have no idea how much money this could end up costing them. They would have no choice but to increase coverage.
Well, I think they'll eventually, I'm going to stop you and say that they can have a pretty good idea how much workers' comp claims they are eventually liable for, and they do have methods of predicting that. It's not that there isn't going to be an impact. I agree with you on that. I just think they will be able to predict sooner than we think.
Madam Chair.
Senator Schumaker.
Couple of questions. Do I understand correctly that if there is a third-party claim, that some other statute, some other place provides that the workers' comp carrier would first be made whole?
Yeah, that's in Chapter 656, Senator Schumaker.
So that doesn't need to be mentioned here.
No.
Second question, would this permit a injured worker to sue an injured public employee to sue his public employer?
No, he'd be relegated to his workers' comp benefits
again,
under the statute.
Again, that is, there's another statute that...
That's the preface to the workers' comp statute, that it's the exclusive remedy. You can only collect workers' comp insurance if you're injured on the job, unless it's a third-party case.
Okay, so an employee of the state of Oregon, then?
Couldn't sue the state of Oregon in a tort claim.
Couldn't sue the state of Oregon, even if the malefactor was totally unrelated, completely different department.
You're right.
But an employee of a school district could sue the state of Oregon.
That's right, if he was injured in an accident caused by a state of Oregon employee. But not a coworker. School district coworker couldn't sue a school district co-employee, but another person employed by the state of Oregon who was negligent, he could bring an action.
You're satisfied that there are other statutes that absolutely
100% satisfied.
Okay. So this is intended to extend the public sector the same exposure that the private sector faces, no more, no less.
Well, it would be less because there are tort claim limits.
Well, yes.
Yes, Senator Schumaker, that's right, and it's the idea, the policy decision here is that everyone should be responsible for his or her actions. And right now, if a injured worker, a victim, happens to get hit, just out of luck by a person who happens to be employed by a public body, he is out of luck, and he and his family cannot recover. And that's why I'm here on behalf of the injured worker. And with regard to the rise in insurance premiums mentioned by Senator Grinsky, that's the balancing decision, the policy decision in this proposed legislation.
Madam Chair, I just might add, I have distributed a proposed constitutional amendment for the committee's information, which we're hoping to place on the ballot, which, should it pass, would render this and Senate Bill 511 raising the tort claim limits moot. I also wanted to mention that this bill has a ways and means referral. It's not effective for 2 years. Public bodies would have the whole biennium to make their projections and precautions should it pass. We would hope if the committee wished to pass this bill out that they would remove the ways and means referral from it.
Okay. Further comments, questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Daryl Gerritsen, Paul Snyder, Karen Hafner, Eric Carlson.
Madam Chair, my name is Daryl Gerritsen. I'm an assistant legal counsel with Marion County. I'm here on behalf of Marion County and the Association of Oregon Counties. My principal responsibility with Marion County is to defend tort claims and to pursue third-party recoveries. What I'd like to do for the committee is explain how third-party recoveries work. It seems that is the big discussion item. Basically, a worker has a right to pursue a third-party recovery, and the employer has a right to make that worker elect. If the worker can elect to either pursue it on his own or to give it to the employer to pursue. Now, what our experience is where there is a deep pocket, the employee always elects to pursue it on his own. Where there is little or no likelihood of recovery, the employer gets the right to pursue the action. Now, this makes a difference, because when the employee elects to pursue, then only one-third of the subsequent recovery can reimburse the workers' comp carrier. The workers' comp carrier has a lien up to one-third of the recovery. One-third of the recovery goes to the plaintiff's employee, or the plaintiff, or the employee's lawyer, and one-third goes to the employee. Now, on the other hand, if the employer gets to pursue it, then the employer is entitled to full reimbursement. Now, the net effect of third-party recovery will be, if this bill passes, is every claim will be pursued, 90% of the claims. There'll be a 10% slippage, but 90% of the claims will be pursued by private attorneys. You will add two-thirds of that recovery as an additional expense if there is a recovery. And the question is, where is the benefit? Now, plaintiff's counsel comes up and talks about the worker, the injured worker. The workers' compensation system has, in fact, compensated that worker. The class you need to be looking at is the person who is covered versus the person who's not covered, and whether the person who's not covered, who is injured by a public body, can recover as much as a person who is covered through the workers' compensation system recovers. He talked about a $30,000 wage loss. What you recover in workers' comp is you recover all your medical expenses, you recover two-thirds of all your wage loss. That's automatic. That's your temporary total disability. Then you receive a permanent disability award, of which the lawyer only gets 25% usually. That amount you get regardless of fault. On the other hand, if you're not covered and you're suing the public body, you have to look at comparative negligence. You have to front the medical bills yourself as you attempt to finance litigation against the public body, and you run a chance of a defense verdict. Those are the trade-offs. And that family, in fact, did have its medical bills paid. They did, in fact, have a wage recovery. And the fact that there was not a significant recovery for the permanent disability may relate to the merits of the permanent disability. But the victim was not left in the lurch. The children were not starving. And as far as his inability to get his job back, there are also statutes in the workers' compensation sections which require an employer to reemploy if the job is open, or for another suitable job if it's available. And he had certain reemployment rights. And in fact, if the employer doesn't honor those reemployment rights, including a public employer, you're subject to investigation and litigation from the Bureau of Labor.
I think that's a little far from this issue, but...
Well, I'm trying, Madam Chair, I'll try and get back then to the issue.
Yes, I appreciate that.
The primary issue is that no matter what you do, this bill is going to cost public bodies money. Marion County is self-insured. That means that we finance our own tort defense. If we have to finance this bill, it's got to come out of another pocket. As Senator Hill is well aware, right now we're trying to finance a correction system. And there's some debate as to how much of a correction...
Let's talk a little bit about the bill some more, too. Get back to the bill.
Well, Senator, Madam Chair, I believe that does address the bill.
Marion County... Could you get back to us before work session time to give us the amount?
Well, I did provide a fiscal impact to the House committee. We run between...
I'm talking about this committee. If you could give us, as part of your testimony, written documentation of your... number of claims and number of claims that would fall under this bill as opposed to where
I give that to you right now, Madam Chair. We run
that'll help us a lot.
Three claims that are formally filed with Marion County that I deny on the basis of this statute as it exists.
The outcome would be three claims per year for you. What's the amount of those claims?
The average reserve for those claims, if we had to defend them, would be $50,000. That's a reserve figure, which, assuming we have the money to set aside, fund our reserves, which sometimes we have and sometimes we don't, it would be a fiscal impact of $150,000 based on past history.
Or reserves, which may or may not. What's the general outcome of those in terms of what you finally have to pay?
Well, it's hard to explain, because when we went self-insured with no money. We went self-insured because we were broke. We still do not have an adequate reserve. So
you're reserving to keep up to
we're trying to get to that point, yes, Madam Chair.
I understand.
Our actual history is we're fairly successful in defense of claims.
Thank you, that's helpful.
And the last thing I want to mention about the bill is the fact that the bill will promote additional litigation. And I think there's a question of whether that additional litigation is in the public interest. An example I want to give you is a recent drug raid in which a City of Salem police officer was shot. He was accidentally shot by a trooper from the Oregon State Police. City of Salem, who is also self-insured for workers' comp, would pursue a third-party recovery against the state of Oregon in that case if it was available to him. And although I would also pursue third-party recoveries against the state of Oregon if it was available to me, I'm not sure that that's in the public interest. It somewhat sounds like a feeding frenzy among the sharks, and I don't think the taxpayer benefits.
Okay, any other questions? Senator Gwinski.
Just for clarification, you said three claims a year. You mean you're getting people that are filing third-party claims against the City of Salem right now?
No, this is Marion County. This, right now, I get, as an average, for instance, I got two last year, I got four the year before, I got three the year before. So on a three-year average, I get formal written tort claim notices, three a year. I generally like write the lawyer back and say, please read the statute, we're immune from liability, I deny liability. Only one of those did the lawyer follow up with a lawsuit.
Well, in that case, that figure, this is what I thought, that figure's unrealistic. You're picking up lawyers that don't realize that they can't.
Yeah, that's the conservative figure. I figure that's half the claim. I'm sorry.
It could be a lot more than that, because someone else has probably researched it. I think what might be more accurate is how many times does Marion County, how many tort claims notices does Marion County get a year? Did you say you just get three?
That affect this bill. We average 110 tort claim notices a year.
Okay. That's, I think, a lot more instructive. Now, obviously, a lot of those people weren't on the job when those accidents occurred, but you got three people in a year's time whose lawyers didn't know that they couldn't bring a third-party action against the against Marion County. That doesn't mean anything. That just means three people didn't do their research.
I also think you got to talk about how many were workers' comp eligible, mm-hmm. because that's a different matter too.
That'd be very difficult for him to know that, I imagine.
Do you
have any idea how many of those 110 tort claims notice people were working on the job?
Madam Chair, Senator Gretzky, out of the 110 formal tort claim notices or lawsuits that we get a year on an average, we get three in which I've identified that the person recovered workers' compensation benefits. There may be another group of claims out there that we don't receive any tort claim notice on, and so I gave you the conservative figures. I would estimate that that's half, but that's it's just an educated guess.
Senator Shoemaker.
I'd be interested if the witnesses could address the public policy matter here rather than just dollars and cents. What are the public policy arguments for insulating the public employer from responsibility for its negligence, whether it be to the private employer to reimburse workers' compensation costs or to the injured plaintiff? I mean, why should the public policy protect the public when it doesn't protect the private?
Senator Shoemaker, I'll give you two answers. I'll give you an example and I'll give you an answer. I'll give you the example first. We had a lawsuit that Senator Hill's familiar about with involving a person under the supervision of the Psychiatric Security Review Board, our mental health counselor. We had an 8-day trial in Multnomah County. The verdict was in favor of Marion County. Defense verdict, no claim. Our psychiatric social worker quit. Our psychiatrist quit. The group homes of the state of Oregon refused to accept PSRB clients until the state of Oregon agreed to make them agents. And the state hospital now is overflowing with PSRB people because they can't go out in the community. We deal in high-risk obligations. And people who get involved in high-risk areas who are constantly having somebody over their shoulder get out of the business, or they limit their activities. We can't limit our risk. We can't not have a sheriff's department. We can't not have a jail. We can't not treat the mentally ill. We can't treat the poor, or not treat the poor in our health clinics. That's the public policy argument, because it's financed by the public taxpayer to provide services for those people who can't afford to get those services themselves, and which no private company will provide.
How does this relate to the liability of the state to third parties who are not employed by those public agencies?
Well, we all have risks in life, and risks which aren't compensated. I guess my answer would be, the taxpayers are funding this. Where are the taxpayers' priorities? The more liability we have for negligence, the more you're shifting taxpayer priorities into dealing with a few injured parties as opposed to dealing with a public program for the greater good.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Grinsky.
It's the same argument that's used to put the limits on tort claims liabilities for public bodies. It's no different. Sovereign immunity.
Well,
it's the same concept.
And that, I just think if there's anything other than a fiscal, when you get right down to it, it's just a fiscal rationale.
It's, Madam Chair, it's the allocation of tax monies. That's what it comes down to. It's what you
Thank
guys
you.
Do.
Thank Paul. You.
Paul. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties, appearing in opposition to House Bill 2421, primarily for the reasons given by Mr. Gerritsen. I won't go beyond that.
Thank you. Karen.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Karen Hafner. I represent the Oregon School Boards Association. Basically, we're in opposition to this bill. We do feel that the individuals that would be covered if this bill should pass have already been compensated under the workers' comp, and we feel that this would be unnecessary, and I believe that it has already been said better by someone else, so I'm not going to waste your time unless you have questions.
Other questions? Thank you. Eric Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I have two letters for the record. I'm Eric Carlson, League of Oregon Cities. I have two letters I'm submitting for the record, one for the League and one from the City of Corvallis, addressed to the House Committee, which considered this bill, which explains their reasons. I would support the testimony that's been given previously and simply add that I think it's not appropriate to say that it is just a fiscal matter, because funds which will be required to operate, if you will, House Bill 2421, if you should decide to pass it, will come out of city general funds. Those are funds which pay for police, fire, libraries, parks in cities primarily, so that's the competition that you're facing in terms of fund usage. And from our point of view, it's a very, you're taking funds from very important functions to fund this kind of recovery if you should decide to do that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Other questions?
Are there experiences in other states that would be instructive to us here? Have other states waived statutory immunity for these potential third-party claims? And if they have, do we know what kind of a fiscal impact it's had on those states as a percentage of their total budget, that sort of thing? It would be helpful for me to know that.
Madam Chairman, Senator Shoemaker, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question.
Maybe that's something somebody could look into.
Okay, we'll try to see what that amounts to, although other states have varying degrees of tort limits and liabilities totally, so it's kind of sometimes indirectly hard to
do. I understand, but it still could be useful.
Right. Thank you very much. Let's move then to House Bill 2429, Charlie Williamson and Barney Marks.
Madam Chair, Charles Williamson, OTLA. This bill simply broadens the protection afforded to commercial liability insurance policy holders to everybody. It says that the commissioner insurance commissioner has to approve.
I can't hear you, Charlie.
I'm sorry. It says that the insurance commissioner has to approve any policy but which allows the deduction from the amount of the coverage of your defense costs. We initially had proposed this bill to simply outlaw such policies. The case was made to the House Judiciary Committee that that might make some policies unavailable in Oregon, or at least that wouldn't be available from another source. So a compromise was struck there that simply says that the insurance commissioner has to approve such policies.
Are there questions? We dealt with this last session in the tort reform, so some of us are more familiar than others with it. We had it in applying to commercial only, so thank you, Charlie. Barney?
Yeah, I'm Barney Marks from Portland, Oregon, with the Oregon Surplus Line Association. I have no testimony. I just wanted to express our support for the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions of either one of our witnesses? Thank you very much. Thanks. Okay, let's move to, well, I don't see Kelly Clark.